Good morning, 10 o'clock. How you doing? Well, I am not Pastor Greg. Yeah. Now, he doesn't normally dress this nice. So, you have me today, but he did want me to pass on to you. He called me yesterday afternoon, and he's congested, sick, coughing. All I could hear was just a garbled mess on the phone. And he goes, I need you to preach for me tomorrow. And he goes, but before you say yes or no, let me tell you what I want you to do. Because he knows I don't live to do this. So, you know, to preach, per se. He goes, let me tell you what you'll get to talk about, though. And then when he said the subject, and he goes, and you can tie it in and do whatever the Lord leads. And I said, okay, I can do that. I said, that's right in my wheelhouse. I'll take that then and do it. But I want to take a quick minute and just let's all pray for him this service and for a quick, speedy recovery. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your power, your presence that's here right now. We loose anointing into Pastor Greg right now, right where he's at. We know you are the great physician. We curse and bind every infirmity of the enemy, every sickness, every symptom in his body. We command it to line up with the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that he will quickly rise up and we will call him blessed right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. He's going to feel all the love and the prayers. So thank you very much for holding him up. And now you have to tolerate me today. That's your punishment. But I want to tie in, I love New Year's, and I want to tie in what he's been talking about in 1 Kings 19:19. And what I really hope to do today, I've been praying about this. I want to be able to, just like Elijah took the cloak and hit the anointing and just exposed Elisha to what God has, to encourage him to drop what he's doing, change his perspective, and then do something different. That's what I really hope will happen today. That's what I personally am believing for this service, for you, this particular 10 o'clock Sunday morning service, that you will feel this impact your life and it'll hit you in a new way, maybe a different perspective than what you had before you came in today. What is interesting, I think, about the story of Elijah is if you go back and read 1 Kings 18 and then chapter 19 before verse 19, you're going to find out something really neat about Elijah. This guy was a powerhouse prophet. I mean, he was the man. Single-handedly stood on Mount Carmel against 450 prophets of Baal, taunted them, trash-talked them, said, hey, you guys aren't yelling loud enough to your God. Maybe you ought to start, maybe he's on vacation or something, you know? I mean, just throwing everything at him, just sitting back and just laughing at him, mocking him. And when it came time for God to respond, they threw all kinds of water on his sacrifice. There was a trench filled up around it. And then when God responded with fire from heaven, it not only consumed the offering that was there, but the Bible says it licked up every drop of water in the trench with it. He saw some amazing stuff. He told the army, seize all the prophets. They took all the prophets down to the river and executed them all. No one left. And then he told Ahab, you know, go get yourself something to eat because I hear a storm coming. And he went up on top of the mountain and prayed and sent his servant seven times. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? And the seventh time, yes, I see the clouds. Major rainstorm. Prayed rain back to the land. And then when Ahab got back and told Jezebel what he had done, he killed every single one of your prophets. They are all gone. And she said, well, may the gods do to me what was done to them if I don't kill Elijah by this time tomorrow. And you know what Elijah did? He said, woman, you're going to die by this time tomorrow. I wish he would have said that. That's what I think I would have said, right? We all think we're tough guys, you know, Mr. Macho. But he ran, tucked his tail, went scared into a depression. But I would submit to you that it wasn't so much it was because it was her. The spirit in her rose up, the evil one, and it freaked him out. But then he said, you know, Lord, just kill me. I'm not as good as my ancestors. There's no way. It's not worth it. I just want to die. Just take me. Complete, utter despair. But you know what? How many of us are our own worst enemy? I believe he became his own worst enemy. So you can be your greatest prophet in life, or you can be your greatest enemy in life. It is all on you. We want to blame the enemy for a lot of stuff happening in our life all the time. Oh, yeah, the devil did that. No, it's your stupid decision. And I don't believe the Lord raised a bunch of idiots. Because the Bible says we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We are supposed to know what he's up to. We know. We know better. And to make the same mistakes over and over again? Come on. I say 2015 is going to be the year of no excuses. Let's get this thing done. Now, before you get too excited, let me tell you what the topic is, because I know Elijah imparted also something else to Elisha, the anointing to have the strength to be able to carry out something. Because after Elijah ran away from his problem, the Lord knew he wouldn't be able to survive unless he fed him something first. So when he woke up, he just saw this bread, this meal made before him. Angel of the Lord brought it. Said, arise and get up, because the journey's too great for you to make it without you eating this. And that was his last meal for 40 days. When he walked every day, got to a cave, and then guess what happened? Miraculously, he heard God's voice, the still small voice, come back to him. And what ultimately ended up happening is he went back and then took on Jezebel and won. You know, you sometimes have to get to a place where you got to say, you know what? I'm doing the same thing over and over again every single year, and I'm getting the same results every year. And this thing says he makes all things new. Are you ready to do something new in 2015? Let's not put this all on God, that God's got to do all the work here. Okay, God, give me something new. You are going to do something new in 2015. How about this? How about we pursue God this year like we never have before? Are you in? Are you interested? We can get excited about this because you know what? I believe the power is in the pursuit of God, which is why you will never arrive to a place where you can just sit back, open a bag of chips, turn on Netflix, and watch CSI like a crack addict to watch the whole season in one night. Yeah, that was me. But that's what we would do, and the Lord knows the human condition. If we ever got to where we didn't have to hear anymore, we wouldn't. We'd sit down and kick back. But I believe that's why the Lord will never let us get to that place. And everybody that's in here today, I promise you something else. There is something you don't know. There is something about your life that you don't know. Nobody knows it all. And I want to know something about my life this year that I didn't know. Where do you want me, God? What information do I need to have? But you know, it's not only for us. The Lord wants you to be able to get information to help other people too. Other people. You know what? It isn't all about you. But if you want something new from God, you're going to have to start doing something new to get it. And that's how it is. The Lord just doesn't hand this stuff out. We forget sometimes that we are in an army. It's the army of the Lord the Bible talks about, this powerful army. But you know, those of you that have been in the military know, army, very disciplined, very orderly, very structured. Why can't we do that with our spiritual life too? Why can't we have an order to it? Why can't we be disciplined with it? But I say you can. You make the choice. That's the great thing about God. He doesn't say, when you start the month, you will pray these 3 days this way and the next 3 days that way. No. You get to walk that out. You have to find what God needs you to do for your life and your calling, the offices that he has put you in the kingdom. Because there is a kingdom of God, and there is structure and there is order. And our job is to discover our destiny and where we fit in the kingdom. And then pursue it and pursue God for that in our life. That's what 2015 is going to be about for me. I hope everybody else will come along with. Are you ready? Do you need answers to prayer? Do you need to be delivered from something this year? How about some revelation? Do you need some revelation for your life? Are you interested in finding out how you can get it? All right, there's a few people that are interested. I know, I haven't even dropped the big one on you yet. Because today we're going to talk about something that has become the four-letter F-bomb in the kingdom of heaven, which is fast. And when Pastor told me, I said, oh yeah, I'm all in on this one, baby. Give me the mic. Because see, I love it. And when I started it years ago, I started as, you know, I'm just going to try this. I know I'm supposed to do it. But then it turned into, okay, I'm gonna do 3 days a month. I'm going to fast a tithe of my days every month. And for those of you that are accountants, yes, I did 3 days in February, even though there is not 30 days. I did not cheat God. I said, I'm going to do 3 days in February too. And then it morphed into other things. And, you know, part of the times I think Christians don't believe that we're supposed to do it. Because when you mention it to people, hey, have you prayed and fasted about this? Well, then the excuses come. And then I say, this is the year of no excuses. Are you with me? Let's not make excuses anymore. If you're supposed to pray, pray. If you're supposed to give, give. If you're supposed to fast, fast. You know, the Sermon on the Mount had three things Jesus told us to do. Three, not 20, three. And we don't like to do any of them, honestly. It's tough to teach any of them. But I'm gonna read verses to you today, and I'm going to give you a homework assignment also, because I only have so much time here to get this to you. I'm hoping I will hit you with enough that you will be inspired to take this step by the end of this service. And every translation I'm reading to you today is from the King Carl No Mercy Translation. See, I am not the pastor. I am a volunteer, non-paid staff, just like you, so I am going to be hard on you. So that's how it is around here. I'm going to step on your toes, kick you in the pants, smack you in the face, throw a bucket of water on you, and say, get up, soldier! Time to skip a meal. I'm going to tear this Bible in a minute. I'm excited about this because I know what it's done for me, and I'm going to show you through Scripture on how powerful it is and that you will want to take this on. In Matthew 6, verse 16, it says, moreover, when you fast, I don't see an if in there, it says when, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces and may appear unto men to fast. I say to you, they already have their reward. They get nothing else. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. And in my translation, it says, brush your teeth too, please. Verse 18, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees this thing in secret will reward you openly. I don't know about you, but I would rather have the open reward of God in my life, where people can see, hey, what did God do here? Well, you can find out how you get to this place. Are you ready to take on this challenge today? In Isaiah 58, and I want you to read the whole chapter. It's only 14 verses. Don't panic on me here if you're like a school teacher. This is an easy assignment. I only have 14 verses for you to read, but it talks so powerfully about why you want to do this fast. Are you ready to hear what's in it for you? How your life can be different? In Isaiah 58, verse 6, it says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" Again, you choose what you do. "To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke." I don't know about you, but I think all of us, if you're not dealing with it now at one point or another, you have dealt with all those things. And if you're done breaking them on you, how about breaking them on somebody else? Is it not to give bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out into your house, to see the naked people and cover them with clothes, and not to hide from your own family that needs help? I know some people do that. But you know, when you fast, the good thing about it is you're going without food. And when you go without food, you're spending less money on groceries. And I love the Bible from the standpoint it even tells you what to do with the money that you save by not buying food. Give it to the poor. It should allow you to be able to give another offering. And by giving another offering, you're planting another seed for your future. And doesn't the Bible say that he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord? And that he will repay? You're going to get it all back. That's why I believe he said to the rich young ruler, "Give everything you have away." Let's see if you really believe this. Give it to the poor, he said specifically. Let's see if you believe it. Because if you did, you'd know you would get it all back and more. He didn't believe it. I hope you believe this. I hope you believe this word. Because no excuses this year. My favorite verse is verse 8. It says, "Your light will break forth as the morning. Your health will spring up speedily. The righteousness of the Lord will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." How many times have you said, "I wish somebody had my back"? What I love about that verse is I speak it over my life all the time. I say, "I'm glad the glory of the Lord has got my back." Because I will tell you, nothing sneaks up on me. I know what's coming before the enemy knows what's coming. And it's true. You can live in this place. Are you the person that goes out and you get to this place in life and you can just feel there's snipers all around and all the red dots are all over you and you go to do something and like they all like unload on you? Sniped again, just when it was going to happen or just when I was going to do this, sniped. Well, how about if the glory of the Lord had your back? You will not get sniped anymore. If you're tired of that, here's your answer. It's powerful. I speak it all the time. "I'm glad, Lord, you've got my back. I don't have to worry about looking back. I can go forward and keeping my eye on the prize, not looking back, because the Lord's got my back. I'm marching forward. I'm doing what he told me to do." Verse 9, it says, "When you call, the Lord will answer." That's pretty positive. "You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" How would you like the Lord to say, "Here I am," when you call out to him? "Lord, where are you?" "Here I am." You can get a "Here I am" for an answer a lot more in your life than you're getting now if you embrace this. Verse 11, I'm skipping around a little because of time. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. You will be like a watered garden, a spring of water, and those waters will not fail." That's what you're going to be. When people come to talk to you, it's going to be like, "Oh, I just feel so refreshed. I feel so much better just talking to you." People are going to start saying that to you. They won't know why, but this is why. This is part of the package of fasting. Now, I know it's not easy. But the last bit of encouragement I'm going to give you in a different translation, the New Living in Isaiah 58. I'm going to read verse 14. Here's, I believe, the pinnacle of why you want to fast. The Lord will be your delight. Wow. I love this because, you know, it seems like it's a hard thing to do. But after you do it a few times, it becomes easier and easier. And I look forward to doing it. My wife and I get excited about New Year's because we do our big, long, extended fast at the beginning of the year. And I can tell you the Lord is truly my delight. I will give you great honor and give you your full share of the inheritance I promised to Jacob, your ancestor. I, the Lord, have spoken. I don't think it gets any more clear than that. I want my full inheritance on this side of eternity. I would like to enjoy what God has for me right now. Maybe there's been, you ended the year in a time of drought. But you know what? Even bad things happen to people that are fasting too. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen or you won't have to deal with circumstances. But you know what? If you got laid off on a Monday, this means you know God's going to provide on Tuesday. You don't even have to give it a second thought. That's the Lord's problem. That's not mine. I am not the provider. I am not Jehovah Jireh. I promise you that. I'm just some guy. But you know what? You start to believe what you're reading. And you say, you know what? Yeah, Lord's got the next one figured out. There's no reason for me to sweat. I just keep on moving, keep on talking, keep on doing my thing, keep on speaking and praying and doing what I got to do. The Lord handles the direction. Your steps are ordered of God. You make your plans. Proverbs says the Lord directs your steps. You plan all you want, but I like when the Lord messes up my day. I don't mind it one bit. I'd rather have what He's got for me today than what I think I'm going to get from today. I look forward to it. All right, my calendar's clear. What are we doing today, Lord? Woo, let's do something. Because it helps your perspective get right. When you look at things the way they really are in the spirit, as opposed to what you see, hear, feel, touch, smell, whatever. Quit relying on your physical senses and let's sharpen our spiritual senses this year. The power is in the pursuit of God. Which is why you'll never get there, and I'm glad none of us will ever get there, because the power is in the pursuit. You make the choice to do this. Now, I can tell you what I've done in the past, and I feel I'm supposed to share, just so you have some reference to work with, because there isn't anything specific in the Bible about the how you do it, necessarily. But, and like I was telling you, I started out just doing 3 days a month, the first 3 days. First, second, third of every month. That's how I got started back in the day. But listen, you want to do this in a way that you know you will be successful. Do you hear me? I've taught this before to different men along the way and just to encourage them to add fasting to their life. And instead of starting out with something easy one day, he goes, I'm doing 3 days, no food. I'm like, why are you doing this? Just encourage me. I'm like, all right, I'll encourage you. He called me a couple times the first day, the second day in the morning, and then he called me the second day in the afternoon. He goes, oh, I messed up. I said, what? He drove by a Burger King and got two double whoppers. And he felt so bad about it. He's like, I messed it up. I said, but no, you did a day and a half. Great. Don't focus on the half empty, because that's exactly what the enemy will do. He will try to get you to be negative about this experience when you need to look at it positively. There's a whole lot of medical advantages to fasting, which I don't have the time to get into. But after about 12 hours, your body naturally starts to detox. So you should always be drinking water during this, unless you get to the point down the road in your spiritual walk, these 40-day fasts that Jesus did, that Elijah did, Moses did, you aren't going to make it. You will die if you do that. Okay? Death. You will get to see Jesus, all right. Hey, Lord. You're here early. Get back down there and drink some water. They're reviving you now. IVs are hooked up. But let's be smart, because we don't want the Hope Church hospital ministry team spending all their time in the hospital visiting you because you passed out. Okay? We're smart. We're not stupid. Come on. We know there's a physical challenge to it, and the first times you do it, it's going to be hard. So my suggestion to you is to do a Daniel fast. And Daniel, there was a 21-day fruit and vegetable fast. Now, unless your doctor tells you otherwise that you cannot do one, then I suggest that you look into doing one and call your doctor's office and ask questions. A lot of them will tell you, give you advice for you specifically, because if you're on certain medications or what have you, you want to make sure that you're doing everything right. There's a practical side to it. But there are a lot of people that we've had here at church that have done these fasts, these Daniel fasts, and they've gotten off medicine because they did it. Because your body will start to work all the stuff out that's been poisoning your system the whole time. And yeah, did I have a 3-day caffeine headache at the beginning of the year this year? Yes, I did. Because I like my coffee. But you know what my perspective is? I don't want to be addicted to anything but Jesus Christ. So I'm willing to drop it. That's my addiction. Coffee and Pepsi. Don't we know? And yes, when you first start a fast, someone will bring you your favorite meal, your favorite dessert, your favorite snack, and say, I thought of you, they had a sale at the store, here's a case of them. Yeah, it happens all the time. I just laugh every single time it happens. I'm like, yeah, devil ain't gonna work. Sucker. I got four teenagers, that stuff will be gone in no time. I just take it home and throw it to the boys and they wolf everything down. Quickly, eat this pan of brownies as quick as you can. Go. I believe in removing temptation. So, but as you do it, the more and more this goes on in your life, because it is a lifestyle. Hopefully you've given more than once or prayed more than once in your entire life, right? So then hopefully you will fast more than once in your coming forward future also. But there is the 40-day fast, and we do 40-day fast, but we add the Daniel 40. So we do fruits and vegetables. You can make shakes and stuff throughout the day. You know, just use good judgment. But again, I want to tell you, it's about you being successful doing this. It's not a competition. It's not about boasting. And I'm very highly competitive. And I've gotten myself to where I had to lay down for a while a few times because I'm not going to do it, you know. Don't do what I do sometimes, you know. Don't overdo it. Just do it to be successful. Just pick one day the first time. One day, do a Daniel fast. Eat some fruit in the morning. Make yourself blend a fruit shake or something up for lunch and do stir-fry vegetables for a dinner. Make it successful and then build on it. So start small, add another day or two, and then, you know, eventually skip the lunch. Eat in the morning, eat in the evening, and just keep building on it. Eventually, you'll be able to go all day without food. It is, over time, it's so easy to do, you'd be shocked. And when you go fasting, you know, the idea is that you study more, that you pray more. But when you're dealing with the physical aspects of first doing fast, it's sometimes going to be challenging to do it. But let me help you. Don't feel guilty, and don't beat yourself up. If all you can do is have someone read a verse, then you have to quote it back to them. Do what you got to do. Because the key is about building up this discipline, building up your body's tolerance to be able to handle more. Because as you're able to physically handle more, then I believe the Lord gives you more that you can handle spiritually. You can see further. You can see more. You can do more. You can hear His voice. You know what His hand is up to. You know He's around you. You know when you call, He says, here I am. It's about the success of the journey. Now I'll tell you where I'm at, because being human also, 1 Corinthians 7, if you want to read that, if you're married, it talks about couples and couples fasting and praying together. And this is so powerful that I will keep it G-rated. But it says that you can abstain from marital relations also as an added bonus to you married couples so that you could seek God together, fasting and prayer, but not to do it too long unless the enemy tempts you. Well, that's where I'm at. I can't do that. I love my wife too much. It is what it is. Whoop, there it is. Now you know where I'm at in my journey of fasting. 40 days, no problem. 1 Corinthians 7, problem. I know my wife after the first service said, "Oh my gosh, you are so bad." I said, "Yeah, you knew that when you married me. That's no shock. Come on." But hopefully you see the power of the fast, the rewards that are in it for you. And hopefully there's a little bit of a spark in there for you to take this challenge on this year. How about doing something new in 2015? I want what God's got for me. I want the full inheritance. I want every new thing he's got. And every year the Lord keeps adding more and more stuff. More and more stuff. One of the other things that I do, and I have to wrap up soon, is that whenever I'm taking the longer fast on at the beginning of the year, I plan my year. I set God goals for myself and work goals for myself and family goals. And then we pray and fast over, Lord, direct our steps. These are our plans, but direct our steps this year. And don't feel bad if you don't hit a goal that you have, because if the Lord directs your steps to do something else, great, but you have to plan. You have to look at it and go, okay, this is what I'm believing for. And we write down specific things. Lord, we need an answer to this particular issue or problem. Or how do we minister to our kids in this particular area? I have 4 teenagers, so you can only guess. You know, I fast and pray for my kids because there's a real enemy out there that will want to influence my kids. So I fast and pray for them, you know, who they decide is their boyfriend or girlfriend, their future spouse, I fast for. I mean, there's a whole lot of things. I'm just giving you some of the things that I do. But take it from there. Write down what you're fasting and believing for, because when the Lord starts bringing things to you, he'll start giving you visions about stuff or dreams about things, and your spirit will start to be open to receiving some of the things that you've not been able to receive in the past. List the rewards you're expecting. And don't be afraid to talk to your body either. I talk to my stomach all the time. Shut up. You're going to get nothing and like it. Leave me alone. That's part of the process, is you have to take authority that the Lord has given you over yourself. And your body will come into alignment with this. When you make a stand and say, no, I am not going to go, I don't have to eat. You will be surprised on how little food you can actually live on. You don't need all the food. And now I realize that when the framers made the Constitution, it said that ye shall have the right to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet after church every Sunday. I realize that's in our Constitution. But it's not in the Bible. So don't worry about the food. Because believe me, I love food as much as anyone in here, and I eat a lot of food still. I don't have just one sweet tooth. I have a whole rack of sweet teeth. Yes, I will eat the whole pan at one time. I'm still man enough to do it. So it's the discipline part. Are you ready to be a soldier this year in the army of God? Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to get delivered? Are you ready to get answers? This is it. This is what you can do. This is throwing the blitz at everything you can possibly do humanly to get a response from God. And I don't have time to go in the If you Google up or do a topical search on fasting, you'll see there's a lot of things in the Old Testament where people fasted and God changed his mind over what he was going to do. The Lord said, I'm going to do this. And they fasted and prayed, and the Lord said, okay, I won't do that. Or I'll extend your life. There is so much power in this. This is our way to get a response from God. So I sincerely hope that you are encouraged today to at least take a step and start doing this. Who's with me? Who is going to make fasting a part of their Christian walk this year? All right. Take it on. It is more than worth it. And when you start walking it out, you are going to be shocked at what happens. I promise you, you will know God's got your back. I'm telling you, I don't even give material things a second thought. And I'm being completely and totally honest with you. I do not worry about anything. Yeah, there's going to be things you got to deal with, sure. Maybe you got to... My roof started to leak a little bit, so I had some guy, you know, come up yesterday and put some goo on it to stop it for a little while so we can get to where we can get a roof. Whatever. You're still going to deal with issues. But you know what? I don't worry about it. It doesn't change what I do. It doesn't change my perspective. Call someone and deal with it. Let's go. I got better things to do than to worry about something stupid right now. Because this is going to be a good year, a challenging year, and I really believe that having this ability to start this discipline of fasting this year, I don't know exactly what's coming, but there is going to be something that will challenge your faith this year. And you need to be ready to not pay attention to what you see, hear, feel, think, whatever. To say, okay, Lord, I know that you've got this figured out. I want to know, are you ready? Yes. 2015 is going to be the best year of your life so far. It's going to be. God's got new things, and you're going to do new things.